If you have a Bible, please turn with me again to Psalm 23. Yeah. And as we're continuing through this psalm, good news for bruised and battered sheep, for saints who might be feeling weary and a little discouraged. This psalm is full of rich comforts for us to encourage us. And tonight in particular, we're going to look at one part of verse 5, where the scripture says, "You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil." You know that on the night of the Last Supper, when the Lord wanted to encourage the disciples, and by extension all of the church, because he was soon going to be leaving them in person and returning to glory, the great encouragement that he gave them and us is he would send the Holy Spirit to us. He would send the Holy Spirit. So just as he had been the apostles' teacher and comforter, just as he had been present with them, so now the Holy Spirit would be and do the same. As he says in John in chapter 14, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." The biggest encouragement he gave them, with all that the church is going to have to face until his return, is that the Holy Spirit is with us. The blessed third person of the Godhead, the Lord, is with us in the person of the Spirit. That is the good news of the words of Psalm 23 that we're looking at tonight. And it's the same message and it's the same encouragement. The Holy Spirit is with us. Or as David puts it, "You anoint my head with oil." You remember from previous weeks, the one central truth that this psalm is teaching us is that the Lord will provide everything his people need, so they will persevere to the end. He'll provide everything we need, every grace, every blessing, every mercy, so he will bring us to glory. And the picture in the second half of the psalm is of the Lord welcoming us into his home. He's the host, and he's prepared a feast for us. He's opening the door for us. He's welcoming us in. And so in our verse, one of the gifts that the Lord blesses us with is he anoints our head with oil. It was customary in biblical times, if you were having a feast, for the host to do this for his honored guests. He would provide oil, maybe even pour it on them. Oil was used, even when water might have been in short supply, oil was used to cleanse the face, to wipe away the heat and the dust and to refresh a face. But, of course, in the psalm, there's a richer and fuller meaning than that. And there's depths here. I just want to offer you three thoughts to encourage you, brothers and sisters. The first, that anointing with oil is a picture of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that secondly, this precious gift is now given to all God's people. To all God's people. And the third, this precious gift is given to us continuously, poured out upon us again and again. So above all, I pray this is the thought you'll take away with you to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. He has given you his Spirit. He's anointed your head with oil. So first, that anointing with oil is really a picture of the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we heard in 1 Samuel, one of the most significant events in David's life is when the Lord chose him to be king. He's taken from obscurity. He's the youngest of a large family, working out in the fields. No one's choice to be king except the Lord's. The Lord looked at his heart. He knew David was a believer. He knew David was a righteous man, that he loved God's law. And he sends Samuel the prophet and he anoints David with oil. It was a sign, an outward visible sign, that he was the chosen servant of the Lord and set apart to be king. Now, prior to this, the scriptures speak of the tabernacle and the priests being anointed, that they were in that way especially consecrated and devoted to God and made holy. And now David, as the Lord's chosen king, is anointed, set apart, ordained in God's service. And of course, you'll know the word for anointed is Messiah or Christ. And with the sign, he is given the Holy Spirit's power. As the scripture says, from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, rushed upon David. The Holy Spirit anointed David, gave him power for his calling. And so the outward sign of the oil confirms the invisible gift of the Spirit, a visible sign and seal, we might even dare to say, of the invisible Spirit's power and presence. So when David, in the psalm, speaks about being anointed with oil, even more than a host honoring a guest, this is what he's really meaning. He's thinking about that precious gift of the Spirit with him. And then, of course, flowing on from this, the sign of anointing with oil and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, they're joined together in the scriptures. To the point that the Bible even begins to use them interchangeably, so that anointing becomes a synonym for the gift of the Spirit. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says to the church, "He who has established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." See, he's saying the same thing in different ways. He's given us the gift of the Spirit in our hearts. He calls it God's anointing. And then there's in 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John says the same thing. He says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." So again, you see how he's saying anointing, and clearly he means the presence of the Holy Spirit. Just the word itself is now so closely linked to the Spirit. So no doubt the fulfillment of this picture, this type, is the gift of the Spirit. God's wonderful gift and provision to us so that we will persevere. So think about this. Just think about the beautiful imagery of being anointed with oil. Think about the oil as a symbol. As I said, oil was used to wash a person's face. In Psalm 104, it says it makes the face shine. So the Spirit comes to wash us, and he transforms us and he purifies us. So as we learn to look at Christ, and our faces begin to shine with the loveliness of Christ. I think that's true very literally, isn't it? You know what I mean? When you see a Christian who's been communing with the Lord, they're walking with the Lord, and they're joyful in his service, and their face literally shines, doesn't it? Scriptures refer to the oil of joy, as we heard Isaiah 61. You see, oil in the Bible has this close connection with joy, because the oil that the Israelites used, it took time to grow it, cultivate it, then to harvest it and produce it into oil. And that was only possible during extended periods of peace, of prosperity. And so oil is known as the oil of joy, because it means, you know, it's we've been able to grow it, and now there's a time of celebration. We can bring it out for festivals and feasts. Just as the presence of the Spirit in a Christian brings joy, because he gives us assurance that Christ loves us, that we are his. Oil would make a person smell sweet, wonderful, fragrant. Like we've been hearing in the Song of Songs, myrrh, cassia, aloes, and all these oils that have these beautiful smells. So the Spirit makes a believer fragrant with the presence of Christ. It's a wonderful image, this, isn't it? And as oil was used to consecrate people, to dedicate them to the Lord, so the presence of the Spirit in a believer, he continues to sanctify us and make us holy to the Lord's. So that every part of our life is brought under Christ to serve him and do his will. And as oil was used as a medicine and a salve for wounds and injuries, think of the story of the Good Samaritan. You know how the Good Samaritan, he uses oil to clean the wounds of the injured man. And so the Holy Spirit's presence is a comfort to us. He's the one who heals our souls. He comforts us with the truths of God's love. So this is a wonderful picture. This is what the Lord gives us in his house. The oil of his Spirit. It's to be happy. It's to be holy. To be given the Spirit. And David is rejoicing here in the gift of the Spirit. He's rejoicing that the Lord anointed him with oil. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice that you have been given such a gift. The most precious thing. But the second truth then to understand is that now this precious gift of the Spirit is given to all God's people. In the Old Testament, before our Lord Jesus came, anointing someone with oil as a sign that they've got this special calling and the giving of the gift of the Spirit to empower them, it was very rare and unusual. There's very few people said to be anointed like this. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was in one sense very limited, confined to just one or two special people. There's the priest in the tabernacle. There's some of the prophets anointed with the Spirit in a special way. Think of Elijah, Elisha. And there's David and the kings of Israel. So there's very few amongst even the people of God. You might remember there's that incident in the Exodus where Moses appoints 70 elders to help lead the people of Israel. This is in Numbers 11. And the scripture says that the Lord took some of the Spirit that was upon Moses and placed it upon the elders. They received an empowering for their special calling. And Joshua sees this. He sees some of them begin to prophesy, even out in the camp, and he's not happy about that. He so loves Moses, he says, no, Moses, only you should have this honor and this role. And Moses says longingly, oh, if only all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit on them. So there's this longing that there would be this overflowing blessing of the Spirit on all the people of God. This special empowering. And then this is one of the most astonishing things. This is one of the most significant changes between Old Testament and New Testament. It's when the Lord Jesus himself comes, and with his resurrection and ascension, now all God's people are given his Spirit. This special empowering poured out on all his church abundantly. So we will fulfill our calling and be holy. Every believer receives his presence and power. Every believer set apart and given this promise of the Spirit. It's a remarkable thing when you think in the Old Testament how few people were anointed, that then suddenly in the New Testament we're being told we're all anointed. That's extraordinary. The gracious gift of God, the generosity. And you find the New Testament, the scriptures marveling at this, the apostles marveling at this again and again, that the Spirit is now poured out on the whole church. That every Christian is anointed with the oil of the Spirit. You've got Peter proclaiming this at Pentecost. As he and the apostles are anointed of the Spirit, and he says in Acts 2, this crowd of thousands, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He's really marveling at this, isn't he? The Spirit is now poured out in an abundant way on the church. There's a gifting and an empowering upon all. One of the most important things in the book of Acts is the giving of the Spirit to the Gentiles, to those who were formerly outside the people of God. So there's now even pagans converted to Christ, given this most holy, precious gift of the Spirit's presence. And that's when Peter sees the Spirit coming upon Cornelius as the first openly Gentile convert and fully a Christian. And that's when the church realizes this gospel really is for all. It's to go to all the nations. There's no Jew-Gentile divide. And then you've got the Apostle Paul. He rejoices in the same thing when he's writing to the church in Corinth, a church that's troubled by divisions. And he says to them in 1 Corinthians 12, "For by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And then he says it again in Ephesians 4. "There's one body, one Spirit. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the whole body joined and knit together, every part doing its share, causes the whole body to grow." Again, it's this wondrous expansion of the anointing of Christ so that the whole body of believers can know this promise. And the whole church can be building, we can be building each other up, all gifted in some way to be building up and perfecting the church. Okay, if you study carefully all these kinds of references, particularly in the New Testament, you'll notice there's always an indissoluble bond between the Spirit and truth and teaching. As the Lord said, he's the Spirit of truth. And his work amongst us is revealing the truth, to teach it, explain it, and to confirm it in our hearts. This is the great emphasis. This is what's at the forefront of his work in this glorious age of the Spirit. We're not all here to become inspired prophets or work miracles or fight battles like David. No, his work is in bringing us to know the truth, believe the truth, and share the truth. He convinces us of it. He takes away our blindness and our sinfulness. And he so convicts us of the truth with such power. Our whole lives are transformed. And he empowers us to go out with the gospel and share it to others. That's the overwhelming emphasis. As John says, this anointing teaches you all things. So you truly can say, you can almost put yourself in David's shoes and say, "My head is anointed with oil. I'm not lacking anything as a Christian. God has granted his Spirit richly for every believer, for your day, for your task, for your calling, so you can shine with the glory of Christ. He has anointed you, saint, and the Spirit has come." There's one more very rich, wonderful thought here about David's words. David could say literally, "He's anointed my head with oil." Literally his head. But for us, there's an even greater meaning. We say our head is anointed, meaning our spiritual head, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his glory, in his perfection, the Lord Jesus, in his humanity, is anointed with the Spirit beyond measure. The Spirit came down upon him at his baptism and never left him and has so empowered him. And he is the head and we are the body. And really, Christian, you are sharing in his anointing. Through your union with Christ, the anointing of the Lord Jesus is upon us all. My head is anointed. Jesus Christ, my Lord, he is anointed with the Spirit. Therefore, I share in the Spirit. Think of those words in Psalm 133. And the picture that we're given there of the oil coming down on Aaron's head as the high priest. And it speaks about the oil flowing down through his beard and down through his robes, down to the very skirts of them. And what a wonderful picture of God's blessing coming down on the head, on Jesus Christ. And then flowing down over all the body. such an abundance of the Spirit in our Lord Jesus, and it's flowing down on you, saint. We are anointed because of the fullness in our Lord Jesus. I don't know what each of you might be facing this week, what temptations may come, what trials, what demands will be on you, what opportunities to witness there might be. Might be moving to Newcastle, or might be getting deployed on a military work, or all kinds of things. But what I know is this: you have everything that you need, saint, to shine brightly, because you are anointed in your head and the Spirit of God is with you. This is the great encouragement. I think one of the most tragic errors that has divided the body of Christ over the last 100 years has been the teaching that only some believers have the Spirit, as if it's some kind of secret or second blessing for some, or for some believers who have a special calling. And that's confused Christians. It's divided Christians. Sometimes I think that's been taught because it's a reaction against dead formalism. It's a correction to false conversions in churches where there is no real spiritual life. But it goes too far, because every believer has a portion of the Spirit. You can say this. Say it as you go home tonight. My head is anointed with oil. The Lord Jesus Christ, my head. And so the Spirit empowers me. So the third thing, the final encouragement, briefly, is this precious gift of the Spirit is given to us continuously. He's always with us. In the image of oil, it's like the oil is being poured out constantly on us again and again. He is continually supplying us with the grace and power of Christ. You see, there's been a long discussion in the history of the church how to best translate the Hebrew for anoint in this verse. There's a huge debate about what tense it should be read as. Some saying it means future, the Lord will anoint. Others past, that the Lord has anointed. But very literally it says he anoints. An ongoing, present, continuous action. A pouring out. And that's the true sense, I believe. It's the same way in Ephesians 5. It says we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. As you probably know, that actually it says more literally the be being filled. Be being filled. Meaning there's this continual ongoing supply of the Spirit's presence and power in a Christian's life. And I think that's the sense here too. David's not looking back and saying, I look back to what God did for me as a young man that I was anointed. He's saying, I look now and I see the ongoing presence of the Spirit. He's with me. The oil is there. Never-ending fullness of help and power. So brothers and sisters, I pray this is the wonderful encouragement that you take from this. And I pray that you will be bold to share the gospel. Take the step of faith to approach somebody, to speak to them of Christ. Be bold and go for it. Because the Spirit is with you. He will empower you and help you. And often it's not that there's any lack in him. He's waiting for us to have the faith to step out and do it. And let's be bold as a church. Let's pray for much of the Spirit's work amongst us. He can never be exhausted. He can never run dry. As the Lord says in John's Gospel, he's like a spring of water welling up in us continuously to eternal life. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you are Christ, you are anointed in him. And he is the Spirit of truth. He will teach you. He will guard you. He will empower you. So leave here tonight saying, my head is anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. Be bold. Be brave. And let us rejoice in this gift of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you that the Lord Jesus, with you, has sent him to us, that he has come to dwell in us and to build the church. We know, O Lord, that we are but weak clay pots, fragile vessels, to have such a treasure in us. But we thank you for your promise, Lord, that your Spirit is with each of us to help us. And we do pray, Lord, that you would stir up in us boldness to speak the truth to others. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that each of us with our very different gifts, that you would help us to use them in the church to encourage and build up each other. And we pray, O Lord, that you would increase the giftedness of your church. O Lord, we thank you for this wondrous gift, that you have so united us to Christ, that we are his body, and that we may share in his fullness. O Holy Spirit, forgive us if ever we have misunderstood, or grieved you, or taken you for granted. But please, richly dwell among us. May we be, Lord, your temple, to the great glory of God. Amen.